Had you always wanted to buy off the plan or been interested in buying off the plan? I know growing up, Dad was always approached by different deals with people wanting to sell him stuff off the plan, and I only ever heard the negative stuff for it. So I was personally a bit gun-shy about it. But today we're going to talk about everything off the plan. Luke Berry, Third Eye, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, John, you've known Luke for some time.
I have known Racer for quite a number of years.
He is one of the co-founders of Third Eye.
He is.
Beautiful properties across the east coast of Australia.
Yes.
And we're actually doing this podcast from inside their display suite at the West End in Newcastle. Is that how you say it?
It is, the West End, yeah?
The West
yeah.
End.
The West is where it's at, the
West,
like to say.
Yeah, West is best.
And Luke would know in our history of time together that when I assess apartments or the concept of apartments, I assess it pretty critically.
Yeah.
From the point of view of
all, is critically a word?
I think it is now.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, so yeah, because as you said at the start, there's often a lot of negative press around that, and obviously what's happened in recent years with the standard of buildings and all those sort of things, which Race is going to go into. But yeah, I think testament to what he's done here, you can look around and see the quality. Mm, so
totally,
well done.
So, Luke or Racer?
Yeah,
I feel like I've got to know you for 15 years before I call
well,
you Racer.
What did I tell you? What let's 15 minutes and you'll run with
it. It's not because, like, you race off with my money or something after I put
no,
a deposit down.
No, it's a name I've given when I was a kid.
Right.
And
right.
It's one that's stuck, and quite literally the only people that call me Luke are my parents or the police if I'm ever in trouble. So, but no, it's good to be here. John and I'll most probably refer to him as Pidge throughout. So
there
for all the listeners. But a long time, like it's years and years, we used to do seminars here in Newcastle about investing in Newcastle. And I tell you, some of our early clients that got in at those times, Pidge, have done really well. And I think we're still at that very start of the excitement around this city.
Yeah. So we've been building up to today for, what, 15 years almost in Newcastle?
Totally, yeah.
Or more, yeah.
It really started changing back when BHP, you know, shut down One Steel, I think it was, and it forced the city to diversify, and what that means is it's now got diverse industries ranging from health, mining, education, manufacturing, and we've been investing in this city for a long time, and we're very proud of that the track record, and West End sitting here, you can literally see the trains across the road, and it's all about investing in infrastructure, and that's why this makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, and we'll get onto this specific location soon, but, you know, what have you built over the years under Third Eye? Why, what's your, what's your main thing?
You bet. Well, look, you know, like anyone's journey in business, mine started when I was in my early 20s. Me and a couple of mates, we saw an opportunity in targeting strategic areas around Australia, and so this is sort of 2006 and 7 pre-GFC, and if you can imagine, we're early 20s, we've never done anything substantial before, and we really focused in on infrastructure. So the third eye, the three eyes that you see in our logo stands for investing in infrastructure, right? And that's key.
Wow. Spank me sideways.
And when you think about all our projects, it evolved from doing stuff in strategic areas across Australia, regional Australia. Now we're more known for an aspirational product that caters to investors and downsizers. And, yeah, we're quite proud to say that we can build an apartment from $390,000, and I think my most expensive one at the moment will be close to $20 million in Sydney. So,
for like a penthouse?
For an amazing penthouse down in Caraba Point that looks at panoramic views of the Harbour Bridge and the CBD. So
$20 million is the one apartment, not the complex?
No, it's just it's one, I call it Iron Man's place. If you can imagine that movie and that place that he's got. It is amazing, and our business now, we've got about nearly $1.3 billion under development, and we love what we do, passionate about building good things that what we call legacy projects. So, yeah, everything from heritage conversions to boutique townhouse developments and then the larger scale stuff that we're doing here in Newcastle CBD.
Yeah, that's amazing. So we are going to touch on all these little questions that you've got about buying off the plan, and I've written a heap down, and I haven't even really told. We've given Luke three questions before, but in true Glenn style, I've written about 10 down. So let us ask you, like, John says you're a bit of a visionary. I don't know. What were you saying before?
Yeah, no, definitely a visionary. And he's nice. A guy, person of my own heart, is a country boy. So
where are you from?
Well, look, I'm from Gunnedah, and the joke is I often say Miranda Kerr obviously had her chance. And but yeah,
Do you know the Kerr family?
I do. I'm still good mates with Miranda and her family.
So you can do an introduction to get her on the show?
Yeah. Mate, she loves her real estate and property. Yeah. Very successful Gunnedah girl, old Randa May. But we're boys from the bush, Pidge and I, and we've just come more, you know, my journey, and same with Pidge, we've worked hard to build our business and our approach. And I think that no nonsense, no BS approach has helped us get to where we are today.
Mm. So what are in your projects, what's the key value pillar, for want of a better word, with your projects?
Well, look, ours, we've got a saying, it's innovative brilliance, that is a hashtag that we've owned for years. And when you combine those two words, everything that we do has to have some form of innovation, and that could be the way that we build it. It could be home automation. It could be the little fixtures and fittings, or even the go-get collaboration that we're celebrating tonight.
Yeah, let's touch on that, because we do have a lot of listeners that are in Newcastle here, in Sydney, and a lot of people who are investors and future investors. So it's almost like an Australia first thing with GoGet?
Yeah, look, we're really proud. We've created an opportunity for GoGet to join with us to launch their car sharing platform in Newcastle, and we've created GoGet Credits. And I've been a member of GoGet for years, and I always loved how seamless it was to walk down with a little card, open the car, jump in and drive. So I started working with Chris at GoGet, and we came up with an idea for our residents to... we put a fleet of the GoGets in our basement, and an investor could buy a one-bedroom, no park, and now they can offer GoGet credits as part of their tenancy with a resident or tenant. So it eliminates that issue, and then obviously we're right across the road from the transport interchange, and the feedback is that the rents are going to be the same as a one-bed with a car spot. So you're going to save 50, 60 grand and get the same yield. So. Yeah. That's the sort of development, that innovative brilliance, by thinking it's not just about the space, it's about how people use it, that we're really trying to focus on.
Totally. Now, I will, for full disclosure, if you will, John.
Yes.
I'm actually a client of yours.
Yes.
Luke.
I am very lucky.
Sorry, racer.
Race. Hey, we're not 15 minutes in yet.
Yeah.
Just hold your horses.
No. And I've purchased one of the properties here in Stella.
Yeah, beautiful.
Stella. Now, the reason I say that...
The penthouse.
Yeah. That's right. It was $20,000, my penthouse. Now, I was, like I said at the start of the episode, I had this mindset of being gun shy about buying off the plan, because they only end in horror and tears.
You bet.
We're not through that process yet, but I've got good faith. But one of the reasons that I looked at this as my next investment opportunity... It was one, yes, I like the location, but two, John had told me about the quality of your build, okay?
You bet.
Now, as a segue into the quality of the build, in the last 12, 18 months, and it's probably been going on a little bit longer, but it hasn't been on Christmas Eve in Sydney.
Totally, yeah.
There's been a raft of scandals around buildings across the state, cracking and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Now... how does this happen? Like, is there a simplistic way that you can pinpoint other builders who may have not had that quality value pillar?
Yeah. Well, look, it's I won't lie, it's disappointing for our industry that there are some rogue, you know, operators out there, builders, developers, that have made some pretty poor decisions in the way that they've approached their building and development. I would like to think that, you know, with the thousands and thousands of properties built and delivered across Australia, that we don't have a major problem, but we do have something that as an industry we need to address. And basically the way that it happens is that they don't, and I don't know from experience, I can talk about what I do.
Sure.
We obviously engage with quality builders, with fantastic consultants, with long track records. We have our own internal project management team. We engage external project management team that do constant peer reviews. We have constant what's called PCG meetings, project control group meetings, that vet along the long process of delivery that can help stop or catch when things aren't happening. And when I look at the Opal Towers, the Mascot, each of those situations are very different from each other. And yeah, there's been something that they haven't caught in their own processes. But from our point of view, particularly in Newcastle here, I use a builder that's been building for close to 30 years, very proud of his own product. He uses the same trades for the last 20 or 30 years that are all local men and women.
Harry, his building's still standing.
You bet. Yeah. You
can. 'Cause the thing that, unless I'm not old enough to have experienced it, but 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we weren't reading about this in the newspapers. Like, has it been people have skimped on quality in recent years, or what do you put it down to?
Yeah, look, I don't know if it's skimping on quality. I do think that if you think back in, say, 2015, even 2013, it was a boom, right? Mm-hmm. You think about it, around Australia, there were some markets that weren't as hard as others, but it was a rush to get product out onto the market, up and built. And in my opinion, it was a race to the bottom because people stopped focusing on design. They started focusing on compliant developments and what I call SEP 65, like I'm going to punch out a 50 square metre, one better, a 75 square metre, two better, a 90 square metre, three better, and I don't really care how I'm going to build it. I'm just going to get it up and whatever. So we went through that.
And it was a moment in time. It's like these Opal Towers and of the world. Actually, it was funny. I was actually going to open the podcast with have you done any construction in a Mascot or Olympic Park? But it was probably as well a moment in time where developers wanted to get in on that Sydney property boom before it was too late.
Yeah,
so it had to
be,
let's get it up to spec as fast as possible.
Totally. And I think that...
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And look, you know what? I think that in building, whenever you build as many as we do, like we build hundreds a year, buildings do settle down and they go through a bit of a process of finding their foundations is what we call it. But as long as, and that creates defects, that could be slow cracking or some leaking or things like that. But my point in saying that is it's how you address them and work with your client to make sure that what you're building is for the long term, and that's something that we're committed to, standing behind our product, and we won't work with anyone that's not going to stand next to us and do that.
Question for a friend. When I buy a brand new home, so I bought a brand new townhouse,
okay, you bet. Yep.
And it's got a 7-year warranty or whatever they do for if the wall falls over within 7 years. With my property up behind us,
yep.
I mean, hypothetically, if someone bought an off-the-plan, is there a type of warranty? Like, how does that work in the off-the-plan space?
Yeah, there's not the 7 years warranty that you're talked to. It because that's a different type of construction, that low-rise or low-density construction. From our point of view, there's a 12-month window where we have hold retention with our builders to make sure that there's no issues, and if they do pop up, we've got a way to address them. And then, obviously, once we hand the building over to a strata, a independent strata manager gets appointed by the community, and it's then you guys maintain that building and whatever that we've just delivered. From my point of view, we're in direct contact with all the strata managers of all the buildings that we've built, and if there's anything that pops up, like, I'll give you a recent example. On one of them, the entry gate was playing up, and it was obvious that the installer of our gate, and that was a couple of years ago, didn't do a very good job. So we started working directly with them to replace it and make good on that. So you've just, I'm only I'm still in my 30s. I'm hanging in there. I turned 40 this year. What are you laughing at? I might have a few grey hairs, mate.
No. I was just trying to think of a joke.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not retiring tomorrow, and I love what I do, and I think that in the next, 10, 15 years, we're going to build some amazing stuff, and we're going to see it through and make sure that if there's any little issues that pop up, we'll deal with them. But importantly, on those big issues like Opal that we're hearing about, we're going to just stick to our processes and make sure we eliminate the chance that there's any major issues pop up after delivery.
Yeah, wow.
So, Racer, talk to us a little bit about the concept of apartment living, because I come off acreage, did you.
Yeah.
The concept of living in a small area but having everything at your doorstep is a massive appeal to a lot of Australians, especially in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, it's just crazy how things are changing where amenity-driven decisions are now part of where you live, walk schools, how close you're to school, shops, transport. And space is a funny thing. You could have a beautiful apartment, but if you've got things not set up right with how you can exist in that space, it changes the whole experience. So one thing I'm learning about apartment living is to, when particularly if your listeners are listening, make sure there's no massive hallways or inefficient space, because you're paying for every square meter of floor space that you're buying, right? So as soon as you walk in, you want to have the most efficient floor plan. Mm. That northeast elevated corner, it makes sense that you want to get as much natural light into that place as you can. And then a good seamless integration between your indoor and outdoor. And if you can nail those things in apartment living and, combine it with a really good level of fixture and fitting, you can actually have a space like those amazing old properties in Sydney or Melbourne or Adelaide, any CBD, that people still want to live in and rent, and they're 50, 60 years old. They're the apartments that you should be chasing.
What's the standard ceiling height of an apartment?
Well, look, in we 2.7. I think anyone that's a little bit lower, any lower than that, you're not doing the right thing by your clients.
But is it legal to be lower than 2.7?
It depends. There's different planning in different areas,
different states,
right?
And
I don't know the detail, but in your bathroom, kitchen areas, it goes down to 2.4. 2.7 is very common, and we try and push as high as 3 as an average in ours.
What am I getting in mine on level 7?
you're 1.9.
Yeah.
People don't realize I just got Luke on the show to ask you questions about my apartment.
It's all about me.
So I know a little bit about your development in Sydney.
Yep.
It's, from what I can see, reasonably cutting edge. What do you see is the future of building design for apartment living?
Yeah, the way that the cloud, it's a funny thing how quick things change. I don't know if you boys remember to have home automation or you used to have to hardwire in your Bose system. Yep. And even you can see the Google family through Nest that's coming online. I think that as a norm, home automation is going to become something that is totally considered. If you don't have it, your product is lacking.
Yeah.
So I can see a
hygiene factor.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's almost like, oh well. And it's funny that you can pull a cord and open up and down your blinds, but voice activated home automation is going to be something of the future, and then integration between your home automation and living. So I'll give you an example. I've set my team a challenge. I've got a product in Piedmont, and it's got voice activated home automation, and I'm trying. I've gone out to Nest Cafe. Anyone that's listening that knows these guys, I've set a challenge that I want to be able to wake up in the morning through voice activation, tell your coffee machine to make a coffee. And by the time, the lift arrives, you get our product's got private lifts in each of the residences. By the time you get there, the coffee's brewing. If you want to order something, you can talk through home automation to Woolies, start building your shopping list, and then it automatically appears. That's the future of living. It's not so much about the four walls and the bricks and mortar. It's going to be how you exist and how that space can interact with you seamlessly.
So when you're looking at, a positive of apartment-style living, that's something that you potentially can't have in a bigger spaced area, or it's too hard to. The costing would be would outweigh the benefit. Would that
yeah,
be fair?
Look, it is pigeon like the obviously home. You can have home automation in a 4-bedroom family home. Apartment living, just because it's so compact, it actually it's easy to deliver a better experience because typically it's not as spread out and as large as a family home. But that combined with a well located good amenity, that's what people are going to expect and demand in the future, in my opinion. And if you're not delivering it, you're going to miss out.
Fall behind. Yeah.
Totally. Well, should we get into some questions?
Yeah, fire away.
All right, let's here go. We go. Are you sick of living week to week, or perhaps not having any money saved, or even stressing out when Reger comes around? It might feel that your life just goes round and round and round because your money's going around and round and round. I've got a solution. We can change your life within a matter of weeks. It's the Glen James Spending Plan. The people who have completed this course have paid off credit card debt, have money saved, feel more free than ever before. And this will happen within the first couple of pay cycles. So follow the link in the show notes, wherever you listen to this podcast, use the promo code and change your life like hundreds of My Millennial Money listeners have done so already. I look forward to seeing you in the course and helping you really sort your money out. So I put it up on Instagram just before. Does anyone have any questions about buying off the plan?
You bet.
And there's a very simple question here.
Mm-hmm.
Yin Karen asks, what does buying off the plan mean?
Right. Well, look, Yin is
a, or Karen.
Or
I'm
Karen.
Not sure.
Look, it's a great question because a lot of people have never bought off the plan, and basically, what that means is you're buying a property off a flat, usually a piece of paper that outlines that property.
A plan, yep.
And it doesn't exist yet. And then what you're relying on is someone like me is going to be building it to the material, to the vision, the video, the brochure. Quite often you might walk into a display suite like we are right now that has a kitchen and a bathroom for your touch and feel, and then that plan is your guide on what we're going to ultimately deliver. And you'll pay a 10% deposit, and then I'm going to go away and build it to what we've agreed to in your contract. And then, once it's getting close to finish, I'll reach out to your consultant sometimes. Obviously, Pidge and I have worked together with a number of his clients, and then you then put the other 90% in from either your own savings or a bank and settle it and you own it.
So a practical example, I bought, as I mentioned before, 2-bedroom, 2-bath, I think 1-car spot.
Yep.
Can you give me another one?
Yeah. Don't answer that. I don't know.
I had to put, it was 10% down right away.
Yes.
But the problem in New South Wales particularly, I don't know about any other states, on that exchange, when we agreed and exchanged contracts,
mm-hmm.
I had to pay my stamp duty
within
3 months.
Yeah.
So that's a tip. So if you are looking to buy your first property or buy an investment property that doesn't exist yet,
yep.
We have to give the builder 10%.
That's correct, yeah.
And we have to pay the government
a stamp duty.
You bet, yeah.
Now, I've got a bit of a problem with you, Luke.
Oh, really?
My lawyers did ask your people if I could do a 5% deposit. And they said,
let's make it 2.5.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, just to explain, even for the listeners, see, the reason we're successful is when you look at risk in development, our banks, to build, I think it's like we're borrowing $50 million to build the Stella, right? And I'd love to think I've got a bit of dough, but I don't have that much. So a bank will actually say, you've got to get a certain number of sales. A certain number of sales have to pay a 10% deposit.
Get cash in the bank.
That's right. Held in a trust account.
Yep.
And then they're going to lend me the rest to build. And that's why I couldn't accept your 5%, sorry. So blame the bank.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the bank's fault.
Yeah. So from a coaching perspective, and you and I had this conversation at the time when you were about to pull the trigger on this.
I went late night shopping. There was a launch party here.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'll take that one.
You're quite good for that, but it's usually not to this extreme. But any case, we always talk about, well, you've got to have the 10% deposit, but you've also got to have some buffer funds up your sleeve, because this thing's going to finish in maybe 18 months, potentially up to 2 years' time. So you can't think, oh, yeah, I'll go and save that money over the next 2 years because things change in your life.
That's right.
And that's where I think people have this misconception that, oh, you get burnt with off-the-plan apartments. Well, you get burnt because you didn't do your planning and your research in the first place.
That's right.
And have your buffers in your life, right? And I think as a common one with the off-the-plan apartments for lending, you're committing to that apartment without actually getting financed first.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're in a high volatile industry where you could get the sack in 3 months' time because the work dries up, then an off-the-plan apartment's essentially a risky thing for you, right?
Yeah. You know, I think that I often look like if it's hard for your viewers, I don't know if you put any – we might put some photos up for Instagram, but if you look at all the red dots behind you, that's all sold properties with a 10% deposit. And the risk Pidge is that developers, you know, don't get enough sales, so projects don't start, and then your 10% deposit or 5% deposit is locked up. So what we do, we just work really hard, and we've been doing this for 10 years, that my commitment to clients is that, you know, you make sure you're right, your finances, and you can borrow. I know I'm right, and I'm going to build you a beautiful home, and you know, at the time when it settles, I'll hand the keys over to what you paid for.
Another question here from Claude. Why don't they do a financial clause because you can't apply for finance until it's registered? So,
yeah, I think we touched on that before. From my point of view, I need for my bank to lend me the money to build, and this is not just me unique, this would be industry-wide. We need to get 10% deposit with a signed contract that you're going to buy it and settle it, right, before a bank is going to lend me the money to build it. What I've done in the past, once I get my debt cover, and typically it's 120% of your total development costs is what we call debt cover. So if that's 100 apartments, it might be I have to sell 75 to get that before a bank's going to lend me money. Now, after I hit that debt cover, then I can start doing subject to finance, which is what you're
Yeah, and that's interesting because the question there that I just read out, the thing is, I've purchased, I've put a 10% deposit down here. I've paid bloody 30 grand stamp duty.
Yep.
Technically, I haven't even knocked on the bank's door yet.
No. And you can't knock on their door.
And I can't knock on their door because it's not registered. Mm. So
that's right. You can go and get a conditional. And one that's a great recommendation is you can go and talk to your bank or bank manager and say, you know what, I want to buy this. This is the property. This is, and then they can give you what's called a conditional offer to loan.
But there's going to be sunset clauses on their finance as
that's
well.
That's right. Mm. We recommend, we've got a pretty robust process, and you'll get to experience this as a client. When it's about 6 months out from completion, my customer service team will reach out to my client and say, hey, and you'll be getting your updates, I'm assuming. We've built a property portal.
Yeah,
that delivers.
I logged in this morning, actually.
Great. Yeah. So that's video feeds live from site. So anyone that's listening, if you buy a property or a client does, they get their own login and password. They get videos and pictures and commentary about each stage of construction. So you're part of the journey. We'll let you know, hey, we're settling soon. You guys need to talk to the bank. And then if they need help, we've got other relationships that we can refer them so they can go and deal with it themselves and away they go.
And I think there's another question here from Fabs Mez, and I think it was directed to me personally because I put a video up like, hey, this is what we're doing.
Cool.
What are your biggest concerns when it comes to buying off the plan? Well, for me, it was I put the money up and this guy here doesn't come to the party and complete the build.
Yeah.
So that was – and that's why I really did this because of your long track record. You've got this legacy value thing and I knew it was a quality product. I'd seen your track record.
Yep.
I hadn't seen you on Four Corners in the next segment after the Opal Towers. So life's full of risks.
It is.
For me, it certainly wasn't my first purchase because it's an investment property for me, I think. I'm not sure.
Yep.
Managing the risk.
It is.
And getting some help like from John or someone like that.
And it's research and it's just the fundamentals. And Pidge is one of the best at this is, let's face it, and you look at the macro and micro drivers of investment, right? And you've got the macro of Newcastle is amazing. There's going to be 10,000 university students that are going to come here to be educated. That creates this diverse profile of you know, people, you've got downsizers, a heap of them moving out of the burbs to downsize closer to the CBD. So next to transport. So the risk, you know, when you think about the macro drivers and then the micro, which is me and my delivery and the builder, and you know, I can physically walk you through nearly 500 apartments in Newcastle that I've built, that I know that I've designed and I've put my love and attention into.
Yeah. And I think the whole thing is as well, for me, I really had to look that I knew that almost the state and local government has a mandate for doing something with this city.
It's massive.
And they put the light rail in, they allowed the V8 supercars, they've allowed this thing to be really happening.
Yeah, and I think, Racer, back to your point, you've got that visionary, you've got that investor's hat on. Like, you wouldn't come into a place like Wickham now that's now the light rail's complete and let's say, okay, let's go and build 100 apartments. You came when the light rail had a green light, but it hadn't, you couldn't touch it and feel it.
Oh, right? Look, yeah, Pidge, me and you were doing seminars up there at Quest area, and that was before the heavy train line got truncated.
Yeah,
but we based it on research, and I actually bought the West apartment site, Eaton, Stella. We've got a couple more that we've got some options on around here, like 5 years ago. So it is. It's all about being rational about investments in infrastructure, and a $74 million transport interchange next door was always going to drive value here.
Another question. It's from Glenn James. Can I have some money? No. Next question. So let's talk about when someone goes into a contract.
Yes.
Your contracts say we will complete the building by X.
Yes.
But there is what there is called a sunset clause.
That's right.
Which gives you, like, for example, if there was a problem with the town sewerage that was out of your control, if the project gets pushed down the road, talk to us about the sunset clauses, because,
or an Aboriginal artifact or something like that.
Well, look, that's something we've just dealt with Stella,
really,
and that shut our site down to go through that bureaucratic process of review, and you know, and we've got to respect that. You know, I respect that the local Indigenous community was here way longer than we were, and there was a risk that there could have been some significant artifacts found when we were doing the footings in Stella, right?
And that was long after I put my money down.
Yeah. But again, we knew, like anywhere, you know, Newcastle, particularly this area, is as old as the rocks.
Yeah.
And when you're doing development. But that process took us 8 weeks. So the sunsets are a safety mechanism really for the banks that that they know we've got this window after our contract end date to deliver it. And if I miss my, say I'm useless or something goes wrong and I miss it, it gives you as the purchaser a right to say, you know what, you've missed the deadline, I don't want to buy it anymore, give me my deposit back, I'm moving on. And that's the balance, I suppose, of a sunset.
I would get a stamp duty refund, wouldn't I?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, totally. We touched on it before. Generally, is there a, you said you've try to sell up to 70%-ish of the units before that gets built.
Yes.
So is there a risk, and I guess it goes down to doing your research, someone commits to an off the plan, but there's no movement at the station because it's a bad area and the builders aren't sorting it out. Like, so talk to us about that.
Yeah, look, I suppose, again, it comes back to that, getting back to the core reasons of research and making sure you're buying. I've got a rule that when I get people like you that support me early, right, I know what I need to sell it for, and usually you guys, the early adopters, get in and they get a great price, and then as we sell it down, and Pidge has seen me do this, then prices are reflective of the market, they sneak up and whatever. So I don't discount after I've launched a product, because that's disadvantaging right? We work really hard at getting that price right off the plan. And then if we get to the end of the project and there's some unsold properties, the whole thing, you just get a local agent, they come in, they list it and sell it, rent it out. But in Newcastle, I've sold 100% off the plan on all my projects. And I'm pretty sure these ones, particularly with the Go-Get and some stuff that we're doing in the lead up to them completing next year. Mm. You know, I've only got 14 left in Eaton and about 50 or so in Stella. So
I'm not about to tell everyone to, you know, buy one of your properties here or buy a property in Perth. Like, I can't actually tell you where to buy because I don't know it. But
yep.
If someone did their research and, like, if they reached out to you.
Yeah, well, look, I actually thought about this.
Can you hook out, and we actually haven't talked about this, but can you hook our listeners up somehow or?
100%. If someone, the big thing that we're announcing tonight is that the GoGet partnership and the GoGet credits. We're also revealing that we're putting in wheelchair accessible GoGets for our NDIS properties, which is, you know, it's something we're really proud of, and we're going to have close to 200 people at the display having a few beers to celebrate that. The one thing that I've got that I am announcing tonight, and I'm happy to extend that to your listeners, is we've got these amazing one bed without a car spot. The GoGet answers a big problem about, oh, I'm not going to buy that one because I won't be able to rent it because I don't have a car. So the GoGet credits, there's 3 years. We've back solved an urban dweller how much they're going to use a car during the week. And we've got $2,500 worth of GoGet credits a year that basically is going to cover going to the shops, visiting friends, family and so forth. And we're going to add another year free if someone from your podcast logs online, and I don't know how it works, but we'll get you a link or something.
I'll put it in the show notes. Yeah.
And that's amazing because you're going to get the same rent, and your tenant will literally be able to sign a lease. They become a GoGet member, and then they can go down and use a car, and you'll get the same rent as if you had a one bed with a car. So you're saving 50, 60 grand off a purchase price. And that's a great investment product. So, you know, I'm happy to extend that out because we're announcing that tonight. It's cool. a bit of an exclusive. And we can go from there.
Well, yeah, so again, it's a bit of a weird area. I'm not telling anyone to buy it, but if you are in the market for an investment property in this one, if the shoe fits, well, the reason I bought it from you is for everything we've talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously if someone's listening thinking, yeah, I'm a maybe, happy to have a chat to them about that concept of off the plan apartment too.
Yeah, so if you do want to have a clarity call with John to bounce a bit of strategy, do that. But before we let you go, can you do anything on my property? Like, I didn't opt into the automation package. Can you throw that in for me?
You don't need GoGet.
But this is the high end stuff. Like, you guys, you can get the package and get my favorite furniture store, Coco Republic.
You bet. Yeah.
Like, can you hook a brother up?
Oh, look,
I'm not doing this.
You're hanging around for a few beers tonight, aren't you?
Oh, I've got to take off.
Oh, do you?
Okay. Because if you hang around, you're going to get extras.
No, you know what? I am so grateful for people like you that support my developments, because without you and your pre-sale, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Mm.
And look, anyone that does buy, I'm going to look after you. So I'm sure if I go and rattle the cage that we can recognise your support. And but, you know, I just encourage people that are listening to check Newcastle out. Forget about my projects.
Yeah.
This area is going to be one of the best areas in Australia to live, work, or play in. And what's coming is going to change its position in Australia. So regardless where you are, Newcastle is the place to be.
And you get what you pay for.
You bet, yeah.
If you want cheap, don't you dare buy property from Luke. Because you're not going to get cheap from Luke.
You'll get the best.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on My Millennial Money.
Thanks, Racer.
I think it's been a great discussion, and hopefully you've learned about how the off-the-plan thing works.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, you're encouraged to take more action. And if you are after property, you've got one betters behind us still for under 400?
Yeah, there's a couple under $400,000.
Should I buy another one in the building? No.
No.
No. Okay.
No. But and then there's some there that, you know, that have got amazing views up the harbour. So look, we've got something for everyone, and it's just great. I'm very lucky to do what I do.
Yeah.
And my team's ready to help, so we'll get some sort of information.
Boy from Gunnedah makes it.
Yeah, okay. And we'll put some details in the show notes, but thank you so much, and we will talk to you soon.
You bet. No, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
No,
bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
If you are after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. But if you do want somebody to talk to, jump onto sortyourmoneyout.com and click on Get Help, and I'll be able to put you in touch with an advisor or a mortgage broker who can actually sit down with you or have a Skype or a Zoom meeting and really work out what you need based on your own personal circumstances.
My Millennial Money supports A21. A21 is a non-profit organization that exists to abolish slavery everywhere. These guys rescue real people from human trafficking across the world. If you want to learn more about how you can contribute to the fight against human trafficking, check out a21.org/au.
Remember, we hang out on Insta at My Millennial Money. If you're a regular listener, you're welcome to join our Facebook group. If you want more money hacks, be sure to subscribe to My Millennial Money Express. It's short money hacks anywhere, anytime, right into your ears.
What is it? Yeah. Bloody beer o'clock, is it? These guys are...
Cheers.
Cheers, everyone.
don't drink and podcast.